Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is a rather head cold affected and somewhat nasal and hoarse David Fuller, but happily recording here on Thursday, the 30th of December at 6:58 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. I just mentioned the cold there, not for sympathy. I'll recover from this soon enough and seldom get them. But just so you'll understand why I sound a little off form. Okay, what's going on here? Well, the most interesting developments, I think, are really in stock markets, where I'm very pleased to say we've had some reconfirmation of the overall global uptrend. Have a look at that chart of the New Zealand index hitting another new high. Now, you might say, well, you know, a few new subscribers would be forgiven for saying, New Zealand? Come on, David, why on earth is that going to be significant? Notice Australia also hitting another new high. Well, my friends, because those are the cycle leaders. And every cycle, whether we're talking about commodities, or whether we're talking about currencies, or stock markets, bonds, so on, there, any big move will always have its leaders, which start the advance first, remain most persistent throughout, and score the best overall gains, another aspect of leaders, and very often actually peak before the others. Why might they also peak before the others? Since I've said before, you've heard me say many times, that leaders usually lead both ways. They'll lead during corrections, for instance, but the important lead is that we want to see from them is when this rally is actually ending. And of course, we don't want to see that too soon, do we? But at any rate, the most important point is to see it when it actually occurs. I can't really explain as to why they will so often lead, and of course this theory will be tested for you all over again by this particular example. But I think possibly, well, you could say that they complete their potential sooner, and perhaps the people who are smart enough to have piled into what winds up being the early leaders and the midterm leaders and the late leaders are also clever enough to jump off a bit early. But we will see, as they say. And of course, there are a whole host of other leading indices, and those are the emerging markets around the world, which remain generally quite firm overall. And hey, the laggards, such as they are, aren't doing all that badly. Japan pushing ahead today. It's broken its overall downtrend. It's broken the sequence of lower rally highs. It's testing some psychological resistance, but the recent dynamics, including 10 consecutive days on the upside by Japan's second section index, suggests to me that this is going to test the top side of its ranging base formation here, which is just around the 12,000 level, as I recall. Now, quick rundown here. I've said most of Asia was quietly steady. There were a few very slight declines. India was one of them, but nothing remotely approaching a dynamic. So good news here that these markets have shrugged off the psychological implications of the dreadful tsunami. And I mentioned psychological implications because I think the economic implications are not all that great. You could say, oh, well, my goodness, there's a loss of tourism there. But cold-eyed analysts will also be saying, yeah, but think of all the construction and development and the easier monetary policies that we're likely to see in those countries, increased fiscal spending, all which is likely to stimulate the stock market. And, of course, that view is correct. Okay, Europe, mostly very modest gains. I mean, this is really quiet trading in here, but up a tad. And we had a new high here on the UK stock market today, new high for the year. Wall Street, as I speak, not far off the highs from the day, but these are really modest gains. 6 on the Dow, 2.5 on the S&P, 4.5 on the NASDAQ composite index. The important point here, just to repeat myself, it's a point worth repeating, there is no evidence that this global stock market rally is over. Is it getting long in the tooth? Well, I think so, and you can read the Barron's article, but it helps that a lot of people are pointing that out, and that suggests that we aren't overheating too much. I certainly don't regard this as any form of mania. Okay, government bonds. A bit of a bounce in here today on the U.S. Treasuries. I think that occurred largely because of some economic data, and I think that was the Chicago Purchasing Manager data came in softer. That's statistic du jour. Came in softer than expected, and that's caused the Treasury bonds, well, they're currently trading up at 23.30 here today at 111.25 on the March contract. I'm still looking for a test of the lower side of the trading range, at least taking them down to the 110 level or below that, actually. And in terms of currencies, now we had another new high here for the euro against the dollar. Got up not long ago, about half an hour ago, touched a high of 130.666, and currently we're at 136.46. That's up 40 ticks on the day. And the dollar is generally soft in here. We've got it sliding down to 102.97 against the yen, and we've got the Australian dollar. I hold that one back up to 77.87. These all had down days yesterday, as you may recall. And I don't see any evidence, as I say, that the dollar has seen anything, as I've been saying all along, would see or has seen anything other than a small technical rally. Now, of course, the all-absorbing question is, when will the Europeans get serious in terms of doing something about it? And that's very unlikely to happen before next week, at the very earliest. And we had plenty of jawboning, which has been shrugged off in here today. There's more jawboning from European various ministers and monetary official types. And I think the nervousness, some nervousness regarding the possibility of more jawboning and the possibility of intervention has held up the precious metals in here a bit. That's the only reason that I can single out for softish performance. But gold is not doing too badly. It's up a dollar and a half in here today, just a fraction under 438. I think gold's cheap, incidentally, at that price. Silver closed up only one today, 683.7. That doesn't look bad to me at all. All the industrial metals were up in here today, but my lagging tin only $50. That's a buy at these levels, I do believe. And in soft commodities, some modest gains, although not in coffee. That's been hit in here today overall. Natural gas, that's suffering due to, it's reacted further in here, becoming more deeply oversold. I may add to that position, it's the warmer weather in the U.S. Now, it may sound like, and is indeed a case, you could argue that in buying that here on this weakness, A, I'm sort of catching a falling knife, and B, that I'm gambling on cold weather. Well, I think that cold weather is not too unreasonable a gamble at this stage. And in terms of the catching a falling knife, one always has to be careful when buying on weakness market. But natural gas is down one heck of a long way from its highs, so My feeling really is that the next big move is on the upside, not the downside. So I may well add another position there on a baby steps basis, certainly if we get some follow-through on the downside in here tomorrow. Okay, now overall, and just as I look at my own account, I've got too many dogs in the portfolio, and fortunately, I've also got some offsetting quite good situations. But the dogs have essentially given me a flat to maybe even a bit minus performance in here today. I'm not sure about that in terms of weighing it all up, but certainly flat performance for the month of December. Otherwise, it's been a pretty good year. But lessons to be learned. Chief among the dogs are the silver standard resources, which I've held for a while, and tin. And the lesson in that, well, I paid up for those. And really, this is a buy low, sell high game. So lesson relearned. I mean, sometimes one buys high in hopes of things going higher and succeeds. That will work when you have very, very clear-cut trends. But Silver Standard Resources was back near some prior resistance when I rather rashly picked that up. And tin, that was the triumph of hope over experience that it would break up out of its trading range, and instead it broke down. I'm not too fussed by either position because I think both these are in secular bull markets overall. But hey, it's opportunity cost, and it's red ink in my portfolio here right now. And I should be buying them at these levels rather than where I actually did. I will probably pick up some more tin. Palladium's the other one. I bought that in a neutral trading range, but the smartest tactic is to wait for a laggard, a classic laggard like that, to get hit, and then to pick it up, such as that. The hit on that recent move down to briefly to 170. It's unchanged in here today. And the other one is natural gas. I'm not too fussed about that because I've been trading that. My standard policy has been to buy that on weakness, and it's paid off handsomely this year. I may be pressing my luck, but I think down at these levels, well, I've already said it, next big move will be on the upside. So I don't see a lesson to learn there on that. That's a consistent strategy of mine that has worked. You can go back to the well too many times on these things, and eventually they don't work. But again, overall bull market in my view there. And palladium, well, very much in a lengthy type 3 base formation development. I think it's cheap down here at this level as well. So now I will come in tomorrow, and Mark Lowry and myself holding up the fort here at StockQ Research. He's doing the C2F2 sort of sister service to the Fuller Money Global Strategy Service. And so I will look forward to wrapping up the year in terms of this service for you, and wish you all a good evening.